This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is PJ Hrabowski, music director at KUAF, host of Film Score Friday every Friday from 10 until noon. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle.
Couldn't be here last week because of the snow, but you said, dadgummit, you're coming in this week.
I know. I just, you know, hell or high water. Or snow.
There you go. And so there will be Film Score Friday tomorrow.
That's right. There will be Film Score Friday tomorrow.
And you're going to feature music from Lost Weekend.
Yes, I am, Kyle. You know, it's another great film noir. And Billy Wilder, who has also had to do with Double Indemnity.
The last movie we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Right. He bought a copy of The Lost Weekend, which was a novel dealing with alcoholism, written by Charles Jackson. He got it to read on a train trip from California to New York, and by the time he made it to New York, he decided he wanted to make a film. Well, he asked Paramount, and for some reason, he was like their golden-haired boy, you know. Anything he said, they'd go, Well, this time they said, okay, again. But it was after he convinced them that there would be a powerful love story involved. And so, since it's the weekend before Valentine's Day, you know, I thought The Lost Weekend about, you know, an alcoholic spending a bad weekend would be a good Valentine's Day love story. but it also had to have a somewhat hopeful ending. Well, just like Double Indemnity, the production code was, again, not too hot on daring material. Realistic scenes of alcoholic dementia would have to be toned down, or the Hays office would never approve it. Now, the Hays office was Hollywood's chief censor. His name was Will H. Hays, and they named the whole production code after him.
And this was not a negotiable situation.
No.
Whatever the Hays office said went, and if you defied them, your movie would not be seen.
Right. But besides the Hays office, they had an even more powerful adversary. That was the liquor industry. For some reason, the liquor industry wasn't too hot on it.
They didn't want millions of Americans seeing Ray Milland throw his life away because of booze?
For some reason, they thought it was bad business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently, they survived.
Exactly. Well, probably doing well this week. Funny drunks in movies was totally acceptable. W.C. Fields, you know, that was funny. And now Wilder had to convince moviegoers that being an alcoholic was in no way funny. Well, here's how Wilder described the drinker in his movie. He said, "You will be asked to pity him. He will be neither a comic nor a disreputable character. He doesn't stagger. He's a dignified man. We play him lightly, even brightly, at the start. It isn't until his brother tells his girl that he's a hopeless alcoholic that you begin to sense the seriousness of the case." That's how Wilder wanted the character portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Buddy De Silva, who was a Paramount executive, convinced the director that audiences might accept the alcoholic if he were played by a very handsome leading man.
And he was.
Yep, Ray Milland. Now, Milland was going, "I don't know if I want to play a drunk." But De Silva ordered him to play the part, so he had no choice.
This is back in the days of contracts.
That's right.
You were signed to a studio. They told you what to do.
Exactly. And Jane Wyman accepted the role of Milland's girlfriend, but first, Jean Arthur and Katharine Hepburn turned the part down. So Wyman accepted, and it turned out very well for her. Now, the preview of The Lost Weekend, Kyle, was a disaster. Miklos Rocha remembered that the film had, and he said, a disastrously inappropriate temporary score. The opening shots of the New York skyline had some jazzy, xylophonic, Gershwin-esque music, and the music just terribly misrepresented the movie that so badly that when Milland was fumbling outside his window for the bottle of booze he had hanging out there, people roared with laughter. Well, then they began to leave when they realized the movie was serious. And Rocha explained to the production folks that the music made the movie a flop.
Now, had he created that first score?
No, he had not.
Okay.
No, I don't even know where they got the first score. No, but he said, you know, what are you doing? At first, I had read several things that said there was no score, but it was just, I think they just threw in music. You know, I mean, there was no particular
from the archives.
Score. Yes. Yeah. There was no score written for the movie. Well, though Paramount considered shelving the $1.3 million production and the liquor industry secretly offered to buy and destroy the negative, Billy Wilder prevailed with help of film score composer Miklos Rocha and an electronic instrument we like to call the theremin. Mm-hmm. Now, with this brand new score, The Lost Weekend was a box office hit, and its title became a popular catchphrase.
Oh, you still hear people reference it.
What, like, I had a lost weekend?
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Yeah, he had a lost weekend. Well, ironically, it won Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay. Though Rocha was nominated for Best Score, it went out to Spellbound, a score written by Miklos Rocha.
So he won.
Yes, yeah, he won anyway. He was nominated for both. Well, in the score, The Weekend Begins opens the suite with Prelude, which immediately grabs the tragedy of the drama and New York skyline as the camera pans across the familiar locale, finally homing in on the apartment window of Don Bynum. Well, as he reaches for that whiskey bottle hanging outside his window, the eerie sound of the theremin makes its first very brief appearance.
We often talk during these conversations about film scores that really helped make the movie. Or it sounds like this film score saved this movie.
It did save the movie.
And it might not have been seen by anybody had Rocha not created this score.
Yeah, they were definitely planning on shelving it. Mm. But you know, they said, Rocha, can you save it? And he did. It was just so funny that it lost out to Best Film Score since it saved the picture.
This was just on Turner Classic Movies within the last 10 days. And there's a poignant scene where Ray Milland, where you really see he's hitting rock bottom, and he needs money to buy more booze.
Oh.
And he looks around for something to hawk. He's a writer.
Right.
And he picks up the typewriter. And that is at the point you realize that his life is just spiraling out of control.
That and the mess in the liquor store.
Yes, yes.
And the thing that I find hard to believe in the movie is the end, where it's like, okay, I've had my lost weekend. Everything's going to be okay now, and I'm going to write, and yeah. I'm going to, you know, write the great American novel, and everything's going to be great. And I thought, wow, that's too bad. Everybody can't do that.
Right. So Lost Weekend will be featured. What else you got?
We have Master and Commander. Mm-hmm. Also, The Rocketeer, the movie kind of a little corny, the mm-hmm. music by James Horner. Also, Romeo and Juliet in honor of Valentine's Day. The Great Train Robbery by Jerry Goldsmith. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Hawaii. Mm. And The Italian Job.
Oh, I love the score to The Italian
Me
Job.
Me too.
I
John Powell wrote yeah. that.
All right, PJ. Well, that'll be tomorrow morning from 10 until noon.
That's right.
Stay warm.
Thank you, Kyle. You too.